I would like to talk about neighbors. A scribe came and asked Jesus, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' Then the scribe said to him, 'You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and besides him there is no other. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much more important than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' A lawyer stood up to test Jesus. 'Teacher,' he said, 'what must I do to inherit eternal life?' Jesus said to him, 'What is written in the law? What do you read there?' The lawyer answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' Jesus said to him, 'You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live.' But, wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' And who is our neighbor? In these days of COVID-19, we hold even our closest neighbors at a considerable arm's length. Who is your neighbor? Everyone who you love is your neighbor. Everyone who loves you is your neighbor. Everyone you hate is your neighbor. Everyone who hates you is your neighbor. Every living thing is your neighbor. Many are just coming to realize just how we depend on all of the living things around us for our own existence. All of us and all beings around us depend upon one another. It has been said that humanity is a kind of misfit in this world. We have been admonished to be perfect, but hardly anyone knows how to be perfect. This is what differentiates us from other living things. My cat, Josie, for example, knows how to be a perfect cat, just as the redwood tree in my yard is a perfect redwood. But how to be a perfect human? We have only the example of Jesus Christ. With the degradation of the natural world, more species become extinct almost daily. We play a kind of Russian roulette with the living things around us. The next species to disappear might be the neighbor, which was crucial for the survival of our own species. We know about a way to be as God intended for us to be. It's called the way, the truth, and the life. It's a simple enough way to be, and not even so burdensome. Jesus himself says, "The yoke is easy, and the burden is light." If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. This is the way of the cross, and it is based on a few simple rules, including love God and love your neighbor. Years ago, I had a close friend and workmate named Emily. She and I had little in common besides our shared Christianity, but we used to have long conversations. She had grown up in a much different culture than mine, and she used to marvel at how easily marriages broke up in this country. I asked her how it was different in her own culture and how could she maintain her marriage. This is what she said to me. "It's simple, really. I just put the marital relationship ahead of everything else. That is my first allegiance. So nothing else is as important to me. I thought about that a lot and figured it applied to a lot of situations in life, a question of priorities. In fact, Emily's marriage ultimately didn't last due to some really unfortunate life events, but the principle seemed right. It's a long story about how her marriage had come to an end, so I'll tell you that story another time. This is the first principle of the way of the cross. We have to put following the way ahead of all other priorities. That's what Jesus said. It's in the book of Luke. Someone said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." That means we must make following Jesus the most important thing in our life. You must put following the teaching of Jesus ahead of everything else so that it is your guiding principle. Everything else you do follows from that. Many who follow this teaching find it very difficult to place it above other demands in life. Things like family obligations, career requirements, personal relationships, desire for success in life, pursuit of wealth, and all worldly things. Does this seem radical to you? Don't worry. It's your path you're on, and it's only as radical as you feel it has to be. What's radical about it is the sure knowledge that this really is the one true path which can fulfill your best and holiest desires. Be brave and follow your heart. Your feelings are your truest guide if you know how to read them. Many of us, certainly I myself, fall so far short of fulfilling the way of the cross that we might rightly be called hypocrites. Even St. Paul admits to falling short over and over. As Paul says, "Even so, I press on." Yet many of us have now reached that part of our lives when our main interest, besides staying alive, is to try to be good and to do the right thing if we possibly can. As Christians, we believe that these are the two greatest laws of our faith. These two great laws, love God and love your neighbor, are clearly written in the book of Leviticus, along with a long, long list of commandments which the Lord evidently spoke directly to Moses. Jesus rightly picked out these two commandments, which clearly stand above all the others. Living in these dangerous times, stuck at home most of the time, I find myself reflecting and remembering, thinking about my own life and about our life together in this religious community. I've been particularly remembering friends already gone who were such an inspiration to me. I remember Graham and Hank, Colin, Ruth, Mark, Jim, Tyrone's dad, and Nick's dad. I think about Pete and Gloria, about Mike and Elsie, Barb and Al, Ron, Anne, Eileen. These people meant so much to me. To all of us, they are our inspiration to carry on. We'll never see any of these people again here on this earth. We feel so diminished by their absence, yet so enriched on account of having known them and having learned from their examples. I give thanks daily for my membership in this church, for the opportunity to have known and been together with those people and with yourselves and many others. In closing, I'd like to mention that I believe that one of the most Christ-like things we can do at this time is stay near home, wear a mask when you're out, and avoid large gatherings. It's like, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. To close on a positive note, this way of meeting using Zoom and our personal communication devices is teaching us new ways of being together, even when we're very far apart physically. Meeting on Zoom gives us a chance to be with our friends like Caroline and Stephen, and Kay and William, Bob and Jenny, Lori, people who are miles away yet in a room with us. Also, as we age, it becomes more and more difficult to be near to the people we care about. Though it takes some getting used to, still it's got some benefits, such as being able to see the faces of a whole bunch of people at the same time and to hear from various of them. Actually, worship in St. David and St. Paul's is still the big event of the week for me. How about you?
Friends, let us join together in the hymn, Jesus is risen from the grave.